Welcome to the Mastermind Your Launch podcast, broadcasting live on Business Radio X. Your place for weekly entrepreneurial lessons from Atlanta's most inspiring technology startups. And now your host, Stephanie Diaz.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mastermind Your Launch podcast. My name is Stephanie Diaz. I'm your host, and we are here broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studios at North Point Executive Suites. And want to let you know, if you are listening to us live, you can also follow us live on Twitter at NorthFultonBRX. Check us out. We'll be live tweeting quotes, which you will have already heard because you're listening live, but also photos. You can see kind of what it looks like here in studio. And before we dive in to an awesome interview today, I want to share with you an announcement about a really exciting event that is coming up. And it is called WOE, W-O-E for Women Only Entrepreneurs. This event is really about taking woe, something that could be like a sad or a challenging place, but flipping it on its head, because something that I have learned after nearly 2 years of interviewing entrepreneurs here is that it's usually from like a challenge, something that you have to face head on, that you get that inspiration to do something much bigger with your life. So if that sounds like something that you are all about, then I want to invite you to join us on April 25th. Down at the Wimbish House in Atlanta. You can check us out at woeatlanta.eventbrite.com. That's W-O-E-A-T-L.eventbrite.com. We're going to have dancing and DJs, an incredible interview with an inspiring entrepreneur and past guest of the show, and just lots of fun activities to embrace femininity and stir the soul is what I say. So I hope to see you there. Speaking of woes, we're going to jump into another entrepreneur's journey today. Today on the show, we have Kashi Siegel, and she is the co-founder and CEO of Gigabark, an integrated mobile solutions company rooted in phone and text messaging technologies. She's also, your bio is like ridiculous, by the way. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. When do you sleep? She's the Director of Strategic Initiatives and Business Development for International Greetings, a UK-based company that specializes in design and creates products for celebrations, stationery, and creative play. She also serves as the Executive Director of Supernova South, the largest multidisciplinary technology conference in the Southeast. She's going to be talking to us a lot about that today. She started several nonprofits and was also named the Atlanta Business Chronicle's 40 under 40 in 2014. So without further ado, welcome, Kashi. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks. That was long.
It was long, yes. But I love it because it says that, you know, when you get passionate about something, you're going to take action. And obviously, you have already achieved a whole lot in your career. And I really want to get down to the root of kind of where you found that fire to, you know, get out into the world and do so much, you know, not just in business, but with nonprofits and events. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yeah. So where I started, honestly, I saw problem solving at home growing up with my mom, my dad. There was never a challenge that was too big to at least take on. And I think that got instilled in my brother and I. And as we grew, we encountered our own challenges and saw what was going on in the world. And I think that was the spirit that we took with us. Really, one of my first initiatives was a project, a nonprofit called Music for Tomorrow. I started that with my brother and a friend of ours. And it was an effort to help jazz musicians affected by Hurricane Katrina. And get them some assistance and help that they needed at that time. Everybody was trying to figure out how they could help. There were people on the ground and, you know, we couldn't be on the ground. I was in grad school. My brother was in grad school. It just wasn't possible for us to be there. So we wanted to figure out a way we could help. So we started an organization.
I love it. Well, yeah, Katrina was definitely a woe moment for a lot of people out there. What was it that connected you so much to that cause?
Growing up, I was always involved in music, and so was my brother. I started in the jazz band. I sang from when I was three and played clarinet and piano. And so remember being in the jazz band at Lovett, actually, really developing this love of jazz. And we played Jazz Fest in New Orleans as part of the high school festival at Jazz Fest.
Wow.
When I was young. So I just have very fond memories of being there when I was young, and I still go to Jazz Fest every year. It really shook me because it was such a part of who I am. And, you know, my brother has grown up and done very well in the world of jazz himself. And so we just felt really committed to helping.
So you said you were in college when this happened.
I was in grad school.
You were in grad school. Yeah. Okay. So you see this happen. You feel a calling on your heart to reach out and help these jazz musicians in any way that you can. What were your first steps in starting this nonprofit? Like, where did you, you know, kind of start? And tell us a little bit about, you know, the steps that you took to create it and to actually make the impact that you kind of had in your, mm-hmm. in your mind's eye.
So my brother and his colleague did an economic impact report on the cultural economy of New Orleans. And from that report, we got to see what we felt like the city was built on. And we could make an economic reasoning for why we needed to start something and to help this group of people. Mm. It wasn't just that we felt bad for them, but New Orleans isn't New Orleans without music, right?
So
and what about the cultural economy there? So how do we help rebuild the city and help people at the same time? So I think that was the basis for how we started. And then we just had to be really realistic about what we could do from afar. And really, that was raising money and trying to get it to the people that needed it most. So we had to rely on partners on the ground. And, you know, we certainly couldn't be there interviewing everybody that needed help. And we couldn't help everybody. But, you know, we tried to help as many people as we could.
And what happened to that organization?
So we ran it for 10 years as a total nonprofit volunteer. We got friends involved and it was great. I mean, it was really great to see how many people were passionate about helping. We have partnered it with an organization called the Afro-Latin Jazz Alliance, and they've taken it on and doing the work. So it's great.
That's incredible. Well, and how I'm sure it's very fulfilling to you to know that that work is carrying on.
Totally.
Yes. Lovely. Well, that wasn't the end, though, of your kind of like entrepreneurial pursuits. You've done a lot since then. Should we talk about Gigabark next?
Sure.
Is that the next chapter?
I think that's the next chapter.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah. So I was at Accenture and met a friend of a friend, and he and I hit it off and started talking about business and what we thought was lacking in this industry and that industry, and decided that we wanted to combine our talents and create something that we could call our own. I really thought, and I think he thought the same thing, that this was going to just be a fun little side business. He was at Cox, I was at Accenture. It grew into something that we were really so excited about and committed to, and we saw the need for that. I think we just decided to try it.
I love it. Tell us specifically what Gigabark does for its clients.
So it's business process automation. So we automate some part of your business to make you more efficient and save you money. Everyone wants that,
right? Yeah.
Or make a little money.
Best sales line ever,
right.
Yeah, for sure.
So, you know, a very easy example is a doctor's office. We do a lot of appointment reminders. Think about a doctor's office that does, let's take 100 appointments a day. It's impossible for one person to make 100 phone calls in a day. It's just, you know, with the answering the phone and all the other tasks that they have to perform, that usually takes two people. Well, think about the cost of having two people sit there and make phone calls all day versus a system that can do it for you in 5 minutes. We can throttle the calls out over a period of time. We can avoid the peak times when your lines are flooded and everybody's calling the office to reschedule or to make an appointment. So we can give you a lot of options and we can make it work for you and your business. So we just wanted to create something that was flexible for small business. And there were some larger companies doing it already, but they were not looking at the smaller and medium-sized businesses. So that's what we focused on. And then we grew from there.
Well, that's a great example. My dad is a physician and mm-hmm. he owns his own practice. And I actually worked there for a year helping him kind of put in systems. And I remember the woman on the phone, yep. you know, doing all of those reminders. So
if he needs assistance.
Exactly. There you go. Good. So how did you get out there and really get the word out about what you guys were doing?
It was a lot of starting with the network and the ground game here. I didn't know what I didn't know. I had never run a business. It was surrounding myself with people I trusted, mentors, trusting my gut, but being humble enough to realize that I didn't know a lot of what I needed to know. And I really needed to take the time to learn or surround myself with people who understood it better that I could hire or whatever. So, you know, you just have to be honest with what you do well and what you need other people to do well for you.
Yeah, that's some of the best advice that I've seen for a lot of the people that have come on the show. Community is so important. It's the people that lock themselves in their home office and try to do it all that, I mean, that's just the fastest way to lose all any momentum that you've gained.
And burn out.
And burnout, yes, that is for sure.
You can't possibly do it all on your own.
Right. And you hit on such an important point. Like, you came into this because you have a core competency. You're really good at something, which means that you just need to focus. You need to create, you know, a business that allows you to focus as much on that as possible. And that's actually what you help your clients do as well.
Right. Exactly.
Good. So what was it like when something that you thought was just going to be your part-time thing quickly turned into a more full-time thing? Like, you know, obviously that was changing, you know, what your expectations were.
Right.
What was your mindset during that whole time period?
That's so long ago, almost 10 years ago now at this point. I was leaving a very stable job and that was scary. Steady paycheck. We didn't have necessarily steady money coming in at that point in time. You know, you have to be a little bit crazy, I think, maybe a lot crazy. and have somewhat of an inflated sense of, yeah, I can do that, whatever, no big deal. You know, it was a mix of, oh my gosh, what are my parents going to think? And I think I can do this. It just seemed I was more and more passionate and excited about this business that I was creating and this new challenge. And it just seemed like the right thing to do at the time. I was following my gut.
I love it. Well, and I also think too, once you start to lock onto an idea like that, and you can start to imagine yourself succeeding, if you don't put yourself in the place to at least try, then that's 100% going to be a regret down
totally.
The line. So it's almost like, you know,
yeah.
Once you kind of open that door, you have to walk through
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I knew I had this great job. I could always go and get another job if I needed to. You know, I thought I was pretty qualified. So it didn't seem like such a risk. I mean, I thought I would,
yeah.
But you know, then it was 2008 and I didn't realize the market was going to crash
right.
And all those great things. So we really started at a great time.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so you guys weathered the recession.
Yeah.
So how did that impact your business?
Well, we were trying to save people money. I think that helped a little bit. It definitely made things hard, but the time that we spent in the first couple years of the recession was really iterating on the platform that we were creating for our customers. And so there was a lot of development work and talking to people and research. So we really got to understand exactly what our customers were looking for. I mean, we bootstrapped. So because we didn't think that we were going out and creating this huge company and it was going to be like our end all be all.
Just kind of kept a good head on your shoulders. And well, it sounds like you guys really did hit on a value proposition that was
right.
important, you know, because if you can automate, then, you know, yeah, a lot of companies were laying off and that's not fun. But if you can automate some of the tasks that you know, that
right.
one employee was doing, then they can feel better about their business continuing to run if they have to scale down.
Absolutely. And we take a very consultative approach. We're not just your vendor. We want to be your partner too.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to sit and talk that through with clients and show them what that looked like, as opposed to just being a vendor online saying, here's our rate sheet.
Right.
You know, you send this many messages, this is how much it costs. Like, that's not really us. We really want to help. So I was able to combine the consulting that I was doing at Accenture and getting that experience and that fulfillment of being on the team and helping get someone from point A to point B and also having my business and watching that grow at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of great.
Yeah. If you are just tuning in, you're listening to Mastermind Your Launch. I'm your host, Stephanie Diaz, and we are here with Kashi Siegel. She is a powerhouse entrepreneur in the Atlanta area. She's like looking at me like, don't say that. I'll say that. So we just talked about your first venture, Gigabark.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after the nonprofit venture.
Right.
And so where do you want to go after that? Do you want to talk about international greetings or jump straight to Supernova South?
Well, Supernova South is really the other big...
That's your big baby right now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
it. It's
the
big baby in the room.
Let's do it. Okay. So what is Supernova South?
Okay. So Supernova South is a five-day conference, technology conference that we host every October. It's the first full week of October. So this year it's the October 2nd through 6th. And we bring together some of the sharpest minds in technology. And the key word that drives everything we do is access. So you're getting this future forward-thinking content, things that you're not going to hear anywhere else, or put together in a way that you're not going to hear anywhere else, but somehow related back to how it helps you in your business and in your life. But it's at an accessible price point. It's $250, less than $250 for the entire week. And you can customize the way you want your week to look. You can come for 2 days. You can come for 1 day. You can come for five. We've got 12 different content tracks. So we'll range from social media, mobile, and marketing to sports tech, entertainment, Internet of Things, fintech, health tech, startups. So we've got a lot going on. There's something for everybody. You can really get out of it what you want. So you can deep dive into your own specialty and what you're super interested in, or you can learn something new about something else.
And you can mix and match
and it
as well.
So we do tracks over 2 days. And so we've really listened to feedback over the last several years from our attendee base. So like tracks will span 2 days. So you can really just come for that track if you'd like, or you can come to more. And we've got fun evening events and great keynotes that we're lining up for this year. So it's going to be good.
Love it. Have you confirmed some of your speakers? You want to talk a little bit about them?
We are just working on that right now. We're still talking and we'll make some announcements soon, but we are working really hard on our schedule right now. We just closed speaker submissions and we always try to crowdsource some of our content because, again, access. We want people to have the ability to also present at a conference like this.
Right.
And we work with some of the speakers that we take and make sure their sessions are up to par. The content is really out of this world. We've had people compare us to Ad Week in New York, and the access that you get to the speakers that are speaking, you just don't get anywhere else.
I love
that. They actually want to talk to you, most of them.
Yeah.
We like to think.
So if some of your favorites are on the schedule, you know that you can come and not only learn from them, but really make some important connections as well.
Right.
And I love what you said about making sure that someone leaves like with how this applies to them. I think that, you know, a lot of times you go and see someone, it's like rah, 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 and maybe you get some strategies, but it's sometimes you walk away and you're still like, wait a second, but what's my next step? Mm-hmm. You know, what do I really need to do?
Right.
So it's so important that you guys kind of take that approach to it.
Right.
So tell us the dates and where and when and all of that good stuff.
So October 2nd through 6th. And it'll be in downtown Atlanta. So we're also still confirming exactly which room locations and all that. Mm-hmm. So we'll roll that out soon. But we're sort of in that fun logistical planning stage.
I feel you there.
Yeah. But it's fun to see it come together. I mean, we're in our seventh year. You know, we're doing some bigger things, some bigger experiences, really trying to line those up so that attendees get the most out of being there. We're trying to use, we're going to do a smart cities event.
Oh, nice.
So that people can really understand what the heck it is and how does it apply to me. And,
right.
You know, are there really light poles out there that can smell? Yes, there are, you know? So, nice. I mean, it blew my mind when I found that out. And I think other people would find that interesting as well. So
helping people stay kind of on the forefront of innovation and things like that.
Right.
What's the typical, and I'm sure there's not a typical, but what's your typical attendee, you know, for someone who's saying like, is this my crowd?
Right. So what I love is that there isn't a typical attendee because it is all about access. So we've got decision makers, digital directors, marketing agencies, entrepreneurs in the tech community, not in the tech community, who want to understand technology better and how they use it. Students. It's kind of a great melting pot of all of these people. It makes for really interesting conversations in the room, really interesting interactions. Outside of sessions, people meet their new bosses or their new employees or fiancés. That's happened too.
Nice.
So maybe we'll do a little matchmaker.
Supernova babies one day.
Oh, gosh. That would be fun. Yeah. So it doesn't look like the traditional conference. This is not your conference circuit conference. I mean, I would like for
the
people to put it.
It's
the unconference conference. But that's kind of what makes it so great is it's stripped down and it's a great experience. It's super fun. It's chill. It's all about Southern hospitality, great food, great experiences, but you're learning a lot in the process. And we just think that makes for a better experience.
Now, how did you first get involved with Supernova South?
So way back when was called Digital Atlanta. I got involved. I was asked to help plan the mobile track because of my company. Mm-hmm. And somehow sort of ended up working hand in hand with the person that was running it at the time to sort of run the conference the next year. And then from there, I sort of took it over. The two people that were working on it didn't have time. One was moving away. And so I took it and we kind of created a brand new organization. And it went from about 40 sessions over 2.5 days to the 5 days, 100 sessions, you know, 5 keynotes, 5 evening events. We'll have a job fair.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So it's really grown in scope. And that's really been due to the interest level in Atlanta. Really, it's been 1,000 people from Atlanta that come with very little marketing effort on very grassroots. So you know that it's something that Atlanta needs. And, you know, when I took it over, we launched Supernova South. It just felt like the wrong time for something like this to go away. And nobody else was stepping up to take it on. So I figured, why not?
Right.
So,
well, and to see that, you know, not only have you kept it going, but it's also growing and expanding. And I can only imagine with the way that the Atlanta startup community is just, I mean, more and more energy just being poured into it, that, you know, having a conference like this to serve everyone, it's just, you know, so in line right now, just everything aligning. So I can only imagine that this year is just going to be off the chain.
I hope so.
Yeah.
That's the plan.
Good.
And Southeast is, doing so many cool things. I mean, Nashville is exploding on the health tech and the startup scene. I mean, there's a lot going on around here and people don't need to leave. And that's what I want people to make sure they understand is you should either be coming to Atlanta or staying in Atlanta because there's so much opportunity here. And if you're not going to stay here, at least let's, you know, raise up the entire region and showcase what's going on because there's a lot of great stuff here that people don't either give us credit for or don't realize it's actually going on.
I love it. Well, I'm so glad that we got to learn a little bit more about Supernova South because I'll admit I didn't know about it. So I'm so
excited.
Well,
now you know.
Now I know. And I can't wait to be there for sure, taking advantage of all that you guys are working on. Before we wrap, I want to go to something that you put in your submission. I have a little questionnaire that I send to all of the guests. And, you know, yeah, it's like your bio, your Twitter and all of that stuff. There's also like, you know, what are you most excited to share? And you did this a while back, so you may not remember what you put. But you said the necessity for change, even though it may be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to ask you, like, what does that mean to you? Is there a story behind that?
There's so many stories.
Every day is a story.
I think that's just the role of being an entrepreneur, like a good entrepreneur and a good leader is being able to see the change that's coming, leading your organization through that change. Sometimes it's uncomfortable, but it's necessary. And so having the confidence to get through that, either that's with your support system by your side or maybe it's not. And you just really go out on your own and think this is really the right way forward and you use your convictions and make it happen. But change is necessary and it's a part of life.
Yeah.
And so to be afraid of it, you know, I don't love change. I'm a very sentimental person.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can get behind what's going on right now and be comfortable, but you don't grow from that. And nothing really grows from, you know, just standing still. So.
Well, thank you for that. That really resonated with me when I saw it. And it was very timely because actually just this morning, I did a Facebook Live on the Mastermind Your Launch Facebook page. And it was exactly about that, you know, about a lot of change that's happened for me in the last year. And yeah, it's uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you know that change is for your best good, it doesn't mean that it's easy at all. So
and it's okay admitting that. You don't have to love it. You just have to do it.
Right. Well, yeah. And there's a lot of beauty in admitting like this is hard right now.
Right.
And yeah, and maybe there's some tears, you know, in the journey and there's a lot of learning, but as long as you know, that's so much better than, you know, just putting on that cheery face and pretending
right.
like, you know, 'cause that's just deluding yourself, and we don't want to do that.
No.
So thank you so much for sharing that. Kashi, thank you for being on the show today. It was really a pleasure just to get to know more about you and all that you've done. I mean, you are a force of nature. I'm just so excited that Atlanta has you doing so much good in our community. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you to the listeners for tuning in and always reminding you that today is a great day to face forward and mastermind your launch.